Okay, welcome to the Sunday Night There is a Solution Newcomer and Returning Members Meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please help me welcome Eric G., a compulsive eater, overeater from, and actually he'll have to tell you that because I don't know that.
Welcome, Lake Forest, California.
There you go.
Hi, everybody. It's Eric G., compulsive overeater. I'm trying to hide from my kids. Not that that's going to help, but it might help a little because they're 4 and they're 6 and they have no boundaries, don't you know? Really grateful to be here tonight. I needed a meeting because I'm conscious. That's my trigger, by the way. I don't have a specific food or something like that. I'm sorry, kid, is that the problem?
I just have a question. I'm the timer. Do you want any notice? You have half an hour. Do you want a notice at like 10 or 20 or 25 minutes?
I guess 15 and 20.
You got it. Thank you.
Yeah. So, I was saying, that's my trigger. You know, I've been in program for quite a while and I thought maybe my trigger food was, you know, something with sugar or something with flour. It turns out, no, it's just consciousness. I wake up and what am I going to do about this day? Eat and then go out there, you know? So I need a meeting. I need a meeting today. And I love that the holidays are here. You know, I love that I'm in recovery during the holidays. I love that, I get to enjoy the holidays with my wife and kids, free of this obsession. And that's way more than I thought I was signing up for. You know, I'm not talking about the wife and kids. I never, ever thought I'd get married or have children. I can't take care of a cat. I can't take care of anything. You know, I let everything and anybody down. My disease is way more important than anything. And so it's, you know, this life I have is just, it's just amazing. But it's like what I thought I was going to get when I came in was a way to fix myself, to control the food, to control the weight, because that's the problem, right? Control the food, control the weight, perfect life. You know, I mean, that's what I always thought. When I was a child, I've been coming and going to program for the past 40 years. When I was a child, just before I came into program, this magical word came into existence for me. It's called diet. And diet will magically fix everything. Find the perfect diet. That's what your goal in life is. Find that perfect diet and everything will be fantastic. You know, and so I started that mentality early on. You know, we didn't have really nice beverages that you have nowadays that are diet. We had Tab and Fresca, you know, and other things with which to clean a dirty battery in your car, you know, but it's what we had, you know, and some scientist or doctor decided that sugar is bad for you. So we came up with all kinds of sugar-free and then calories apparently are bad too. So low calories, you know, and then all these diets came down the pipe. You know, before AIDS was a horrible and debilitating disease, it was a delicious caramel that also came in chocolate in a big white box. And you consume this caramel just like this, just like so. And then it goes down into your esophagus, down into your stomach area and expands. And then you overcome your spiritual malady or just, you know, polish off the entire box, which is what I did. I don't know if that worked or not. But then I tried Seago. Seago was a delicious beverage. Came in chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry, and you apparently you drink this in lieu of a meal, or have a meal with it, which is what I did. I highly recommend that. So long story short with that, I don't know if diets work or not. I never follow the directions. I'm assuming if you follow the directions, like, you know, have this and then have some water and do some light exercise, consult your physician, all that stuff. I was like, nope, just give me the diet. You know, it's all I want, because I was, you know, desperate as a child. I was desperate. I didn't want to be overweight. You know, everybody was family, friends, school chums. God bless their little heads. Very quick to let me know that I'm not like them. You know, you got a lot of weight there and all kinds of fun stuff. But yeah, so I thought if I got this diet, then I wouldn't have to be so desperate. I wouldn't have to have this dark secret. And my dark secret was that food was so important to me. You know, I mean, obviously you can see I'm overweight. You see I have a problem with food, but you have no idea how important food is to me. And I was extremely, as a child, embarrassed about that. That was my dark secret that I was never going to share with anyone. I never told my parents, you know. I mean, it was obvious to them, my behavior. I would have an entire meal and then be hungry. I actually don't know what hungry is. There was a time, I think it was a summer of 77. We didn't have dinner until really late at night. And it's funny that I can remember stuff like that, but it's food related, so it's locked in for all eternity, you know? But yeah, I was actually hungry. I wasn't starving, by the way. I had food that day, you know? But yeah, apart from that, I don't know that, I think I broke myself, you know, early on. I ate so much food. I never allowed myself to do this natural thing that it does for people. You have hunger pangs, right? And have hunger pangs. I never had a chance. You know, if I'm awake, I'm going to eat something, you know? And if I've had a meal, would you like to go get something to eat? Yes, I would. But you just ate. Don't worry about that. Let's not bring up the past. And then we go eat again, you know? So yeah, this crazy life of mine, Manischewitz, it just went on and on. And I went through these diets and I did all these things, and I never once thought that there was another solution, you know. And I came to program, excuse me, my wife's phone is buzzing right now. Stop. You got to buy the Coldplay tickets, I think, honey. I never thought there was another solution other than diet, you know. And I thought that, I mean, because I mean, even when I came to program back in 81, you guys didn't talk about the diet here. So that's a waste of my time. You know, you didn't say there's this diet that you can get on that it's going to cure you. You didn't tell me that there's this magical, and I say magical because I didn't understand spirituality. There's this magical exercise regimen. You work out once a year. You look amazing. You know, that's what I wanted to hear. I didn't hear any of that here. So this is a huge waste of my time. And, you know, my journey led me to OA that then, and then I didn't really reconnect with OA until about 85. And 85, I checked into rehab for eating disorders. And that's when I was really, you know, oh my gosh, we went to a meeting every day of the week. I learned quickly about the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts and the 8 tools, because we only had 8 back in the 80s for some reason. There was no action plan. And, you know, the 12 concepts and the 12 principles, and, you know, it was just because we were going so much, it was hard not to be exposed to these things. But it was really difficult for me to sit through these meetings, because you guys talk too much. First some person talks, and then other people talk, and it was in a circle because we had face-to-face, of course, and then some other person will raise their hand, that person's talking. Then after the meeting, more people would just talk to each other, and that was so frustrating, because I thought to myself, where are you coming up with all these words? Will you never run out of them? How is it that you guys talk so much? Stop talking. I was very impatient too as a teenager. You got to consider the source. But yeah, it was that was my thing with OA. I was like, wow, it's just a program of people talking all you guys do is talk. But what you were saying, I wasn't listening to. I wasn't hearing, you know. And there's this one man that was sharing it from a podium, you know, because it was just a huge meeting. Huge meetings back in the 80s. Standing room only if you came late. So this guy's talking from a podium, shouting, great tidings. My life is amazing. And I have fantastic relationships. And I've lost so much weight. And all I heard is that he lost weight. You know, so I'm at the edge of my seat going, all right, he's going to drop a bomb here. Then I'm going to call up my folks. Say, come get me from rehab because I've got the magic. I can make this work now. So he goes and he says, I know that you're looking for all the answers to all your problems here tonight. I know that you're here because you're desperate. So I'm going to give it to you. And I'm like, all right, give it to me, daddy. Hit me, baby. Come on. And he says, all right, this is what you do. Number one, sponsor. And number two, follow direction. I've been angry before. I've raged before I met this guy or heard this guy share, but I was never so angry in my life at that point. Here, the answer is surrender and ask for help. Maybe you don't know me. Let me explain something to you about me. Number one, nobody tells me what to do. And number two, you don't surrender, give up, fight. Use what you know, you acquire information, you acquire knowledge, and then you make a copious list of your next steps, and then you don't do that and you just eat. That's recovery, baby. That's how it works. And this, you know, clown on the stage is telling me I got to get a sponsor and follow direction. Suffice it to say, I did not do that because I don't know about you, but I was sponsoring myself. By a show of hands out there in Brady Bunch land here, has anybody ever sponsored themselves? You, Sarah, have sponsored yourself. You're amazing and you rock. That's what your head says. You know, should we eat this? Yes, we should. And then you eat it. That's all there is to it. You don't have to run it by anybody. You don't have to pray to something. You just eat the damn thing. Should we go to this place? It's questionable. Absolutely. Sarah, you're amazing. You go there and you're going to be fine. How can that be a bad thing? You know, and then I just justified. Well, that was a bad experience. Oh my goodness. I regret eating that. But then my head would say, well, tomorrow it's going to be better. Tomorrow, and especially Monday for some reason. What the hell is it with Monday? What's magical about Monday? That the thing, the clock starts over on Monday, the world stops and will restart itself on a Monday. Everything's going to be more magical and wonderful than ever on a freaking Monday. Monday never happens, by the way, neither does tomorrow, because I've been promising myself that future thing for years, and that stuff never happens. There's no magical Monday. There's no magical tomorrow. It sucks tomorrow. It sucks worse on Monday because Monday things start, you know, hence the necessity for nighttime eating. You know, it's funny to me. People say, well, I don't have a problem like you guys do. I just, you know, I'm pretty okay in the morning, and I'm pretty okay, you know, for lunch, but it's just, you know, after dinner at night, it gets really difficult. Really? Well, we're all working. We don't have time to dedicate ourselves completely and commit to the disease if you're clocking in. But at nighttime, yeah. And for me, I've got to eat at night. I do. I really do. But you know why? Because tomorrow is going to happen. And there's not a damn thing I can do to stop that. But I can have a party for one way past my bedtime, which is great if you want to support your disease, by the way. If you want to support and strengthen and uplift your disease, binge the night away, because tomorrow you can wake up in a sea of regret. And then you're able to perpetuate the disease because you got a reason, you know, not like we need one, but like, yeah, I feel horrible. Why the hell did I do that? I failed myself. I'm a grown man. I'm not stopping food that I know is bad for me, putting it in my hand and putting it into my own mouth. That's me doing that. Nobody put a gun into my head. You know, and why did I do that? Why, Eric? Why did you do that again and again and again and again? You're such a failure. Look at you. And so this type of thinking, that's how I start my day. Not with a prayer or some, you know, meditation, just wow, Eric, your life is shit. Now go out there and be miserable, you know? And that's how I perpetuate it. That's the trick. Don't write that down. So that's how I live my life. And I went to this program and, you know, I heard this guy share and such a disappointment. Owe, Manischewitz. So I didn't do that, but I did what I wanted to do, you know, like Sarah and I, we sponsored ourselves, you know, it's what we do. Don't judge us. But I continued to come to program. I did that because of our blessed third tradition, which states the only requirement for OA membership is an honest desire to stop eating compulsively. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Which is great. And I'm not being sarcastic because that was all I was willing to do. And that was enough. And that's absolutely fine. You know, I was willing to be on a diet. I was willing to come to program sometimes. I was willing to call people in program sometimes. I was not willing to pick up the literature, even though I owned it. Back at the rehab, they gave you all that stuff.
15 more minutes.
And so I owned the literature. I did nothing with that, you know, because I had my own thing. I was doing my own thing, you know, and I really love that about our fellowship too. You know, you don't have to have a sponsor to be welcome here. You don't have to have a food plan to be welcome here. You don't have to believe in God or religion or anything like that at all, or higher power. You don't have to be spiritual. You don't have to have any of those things. You know, our third tradition against it says that the only requirement for OA membership is an honest desire to stop eating compulsively. Boom, you're a member. You earned your seat. Just like that. Isn't that wonderful? So anyways, I went off and I did my own thing. I'm sponsoring myself. I was able to keep up the pretense for a couple of years, you know, of doing that, of maintaining this diet, or as I like to call it at the time, massively awesome recovery. I even shared at meetings from time to time. I think actually I had to speak. Believe that? Can you believe that? I had nothing to offer anybody. I said, hey, Eric, you should share your story. Well, it's a quick story. I'm crazy. Thank you for letting me share. So, you know, I was doing that. And then I eventually started putting on weight. And so I asked my parents, because I had a good idea, sponsored myself. You know what I think we should do? Send me back to rehab. That'll fix it. So we sprinkled a little rehab on there. Nice, generous portion of, there we go. There you go. Rehab, Eric. Go do your thing. So I did the rehab thing again. But after I came out the second time, I wasn't able to keep up the pretense. I started binging right away. And then, of course, my dad passed away just before my 18th birthday. And that jacked me up like nothing else has ever, you know. I never felt the darkness that strongly before, you know, the depression, the anxiety, the fear, the remorse, the guilt, the shame, the desperation, and the levels were off the charts. You know, the world was still spinning, even though my dad wasn't in it. I didn't understand that as a kid, you know, and I was very, very, very bitter, you know, because you seem to be perfectly fine with the fact that my dad's not here. Unacceptable to me. And it just made it worse, you know? And so I didn't come back to program for about, I guess, well, I think until like 89, I came back to program for a while. And then I left again, perfectly fine. You know, nothing wrong with that. That was all I was able and willing to do. Perfectly fine. And then I didn't start working the program until 94. I met this man, we'll call him Conrad, because that's his name. And Conrad took me through the steps, which I'd never done before. And I didn't really think too much of it. You know, you guys really put a lot of emphasis every single meeting. Oh, because of step blah, blah, blah. I feel like la, la, la. And I work the steps. So it's fantastic and amazing. And my life is better than the best it's ever been. And oh my God, shut up about the steps. Okay, let's work the steps. You know, it's like a process that I had to go through. And so, yeah, we worked the steps and it was all of the la, 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 and the blah, blah, blah. It was fantastic and more, you know. I started to begin to allow a relationship with a higher power in my life, you know, and my sponsor was excited about his higher power. He's like, wow, well, I'm excited because you're excited. That's exciting. Well, what else do we have to do? And I did everything this guy told me to do. And it just felt good. It felt right. you know, and the food thing became a non-issue for a minute too. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not obsessing about food. This is fantastic. I want more, 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 faster, faster. Now let's go. Come on. You know, I was so in, And fantastic, you know, I mean, that was the best recovery. I shouldn't say recovery. That was the best feeling I'd ever had around food as a compulsive overeater, you know. And they say, get a sponsor who has what you want, you know. Well, at that time in my life, you know, I think I was like 23 or something like that. My life was shit. This guy had an awesome truck. I want an awesome truck. I have a shit car. You know, he was dating half of California. I would like to please date the other half of California, if that's okay. You know, he went to school. He didn't have a financial issue. You know, I think I should go back to school. School sounds good. You know, so all those things came to pass. You know, I went back to school. I cut up my credit cards. For some reason, as a 23-year-old, they gave me a lot of credit cards. Every time I applied, they're like, sure, have some more money that doesn't belong to you, sir. Tell a friend. You know, I was like, shit, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm spending money I don't have every day. You know, you don't even have a job. Thank you. So I went, this thing went on and on and on, and it was great. You know, following direction from a sponsor was way more of a better existence than I could have ever created for myself. And I stayed with this guy for a year, and it was fantastic. And at the end of that year, I thought, well, let's just stop right there. Let's put on the brakes. I thought, that's relapse. When it comes to this program, thinking is not one of the 9 tools. I thought, you know, and what I thought was, I'm doing better than my sponsor. He's kind of struggling, you know. I thought, I put in a lot of work in this recovery thing, you know. I started accepting the credit for God's work in my life, which is also relapse, because I can't do this thing. Let's be honest. What can I do? Isolate, compulsively overeat. Boom. I can nail that every day. Recovery, that comes from something else. That's a higher power. That's not me. You know? So I fired my sponsor because I thought that was a good idea. And I left program because I thought I don't need to work this the way you do, because I've ascended. I'm up here. You guys are down here, and God bless you. I hope you reach this level someday, but it's not happening today. And I can't wait around for that to happen. So bye-bye. And I went out there, and it was fine, you know, and it was fine because I'm a professional dieter. I can diet like the best of them. Okay. I should have been a contender, you know, because I rock the diets. So I just, you know, I called it recovery because I'm sponsoring myself again. I got a head full of programming. I'm going to go out there in the world. It's going to be fantastic. And it was not. It was not. Every day got worse, just a little bit, you know, and eventually the food came back, and it came back like a tidal wave. And then I put on some weight. When I say some weight, I mean, I put on some weight, you know. I put on weight, you know, and put on weight from my ears down to my toes. I put on the weight. Woo! It says in the big book that this is a progressive illness, that over time it gets worse, never better. Oh my gosh. That is not a lie. Put that right in there with the promises. Because that's a guarantee going to happen kind of thing. At least that's my experience. So I didn't come back to program until 2005. 2005, I made all the adjustments that I can make. You know, I was 540 pounds. I couldn't fit into my car, so I bought an SUV. Problem solved. You know, couldn't go shopping big and tall, so I shopped from something called King Size Catalog. Problem solved. You know, I couldn't take a shower every day because there's too much gravity on this planet and it centers in my lower back for some reason. So I showered every other day, you know. And the last thing that happened was I couldn't walk anymore because I was gaining the weight too fast for my body to adjust to it. So I was going to have a wheelchair at 35, which kind of pissed me off a little bit, just a tad, you know, because I wasn't in a car accident. I didn't have like a bone cancer or something like that. It wasn't a legitimate thing in my head. I just ate too much and did nothing, you know. And I take credit for that, by the way. That's what I take credit for. What I don't take credit for is coming back to program in 05. I don't take credit for getting a sponsor, following that sponsor's direction. I don't take credit for the fact that 2.5 months into my recovery, the obsession was lifted, even though I was still well over 500 pounds. I don't take credit for losing all my weight. Within 2.5 years, I gave away 352 pounds. Don't take credit for that. I don't take credit for God leading me to this beautiful woman that I'm with today and that having children with that woman. Don't take credit for that. I don't take credit for anything that happened in recovery that continues to happen in recovery. I take credit for isolating and compulsively overeating. You know, I know the truth, you know, and I know the truth about this program too. It wasn't what I thought. You know, they talk about food plans, and my first reaction, my first thought is restrictive. That's restrictive. That's not healthy, as if I knew what healthy was. I've eaten out of trash cans happily. What? Okay, is this non-MSG because, you know, I'm really worried about it. No, I'm not. Come on. It's not restrictive. You can tell me to eat dirt. You can tell me to eat anything. As long as it's not something that I came up with, it's not restrictive. Overeaters Anonymous is not restrictive. It's optional. You know what's restrictive? 2 o'clock in the morning, I got to go get fast food. $20 worth of fast food. I have to consume that food. That's restrictive. 5 minutes. Thank you, Sarah. You rock. Yeah, that's restrictive. That thing where I can't stop the food from going into my own mouth with my own hand, like I talked about earlier, that's restrictive. This thing that we do is optional. You can do any food plan. We have Overeaters Anonymous, we have OA How, we have CEA How, there's so many different ways and approaches to food. As long as it's not my plan, it's likely going to work out, you know, and it has worked out. My sponsor, you know, got with me and says, this is what I recommend you do. So I did that. And I have the life that I have today, following direction on a daily basis. You know, it's not the steps and the traditions and the concepts and the tools and, you know, everything else that comes along with it. It's getting a sponsor and following direction. And then that shit, that stuff, that makes sense, you know, because then it becomes a program of action and not a program of thinking, wow, I've acquired a lot of knowledge. Look at me. You know, I went to a convention. I went to a retreat. I went to a big book study. Look at me and my big, big OA brain. No, what are you going to do with that knowledge, Eric? That's what it comes down to. And I can't do anything with that without a sponsor's direction. You know, I'm in a holding pattern, you know, stuck with the anxiety that goes, that centers around procrastination. You know, I know a bunch of stuff. I just can't put it into play. I can't make a program of action around that, you know? So that's the truth. That's the truth. And also know that this has nothing to do with weight, which pissed me off. I'm 540 pounds. Don't tell me it's not a problem with weight. You know, I was very angry when I came back. You know, but it was kind of the anger that's the wounded dog thing. It was painful. It's painful to be overweight, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It's extremely painful. People don't really understand that, you know. But I found out these truths, and it just really came home. It made sense to me. You know, I don't have a problem with food, and I don't have a problem with weight. I do have a spiritual malady. You know, I have a problem with the way I think and the way I act and the way I behave. And I don't know what to do about that. You know, and when I get a sponsor and start working this program and applying, you know, those concepts, those tools, those traditions, those steps to my day, then it makes sense, you know. But it doesn't make sense doing what I think I should be doing. And I've been back for the past 16 years now, by the grace of God. I don't take credit for that either, you know, but nothing's changed in that relationship with my sponsor. He gives me direction. I follow direction. There's nothing changed because I still have a very sick mind. There's no cure for this thing. There's no magic. You know, I'm a compulsive overeater, you know, and I don't believe in terms of normal either. I want to be like that person at the restaurant. They're normal. They just had a bite of this thing. You're going to leave it on their table and just, you know what? They are normal. There are normal people for the way they are. And I'm a normal compulsive overeater. Leaving that thing on the plate is a problem for me because I'm a compulsive overeater. It's like, you know, wanting to be something like that. I'm not, you know, I'm never going to be a platypus. I'm a human being. You know, I'm never going to be normal like that. I'm normal like this, you know, and there's no winners and there's no losers in this fellowship. Those terms don't apply. There's no failing in Overeaters Anonymous. Those terms don't apply. You know, there are people that have surrendered and there are people that are waiting to surrender. That's what we have here, you know, and we help each other. We support each other unconditionally, wherever we find ourselves on that spiritual journey. That's true. That, thank you. That makes sense, you know. And as far as, yes, sir. You okay?
It's running from.
Running from sister?
Running from Crestley.
So if you're new or if you're struggling with this thing, I get that, you know. Come and go as you please. When you're ready to do this thing, you get a sponsor and you follow direction. You know, that's the bottom line. I wish I could tell you there was an easier, softer way, but that is the easier, softer way. Living the way you are right now, that's the hard stuff. Thanks for letting me share. Hey, get back here.